WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Jay Leno is a familiar face on late-night television as Johnny Carson's substitute host. Critic-at-large Laurie Stone recently caught Leno in a live performance at CW Post College on Long Island. She has this review of his work.
In the comedy derby right now, Jay Leno's career is cruising faster than anyone's. He's appearing on talk shows, doing short bits of satire, and drawing material from the day's news. When subbing for Carson, he listens to his guests. He's better informed than Letterman or Carson, and he doesn't patronize. His big face, with its oversized jaw and plastic expressiveness, is frank and good-hearted. On stage live, too, his social conscience cuts through media hype with amusing results. He calls McDonald's idea of employing the elderly side by side with teenagers their cradle-to-the-grave minimum wage program. About the expiration date on Wonder Bread, he quips, "You should live so long." But his two-hour set often disappoints. Leno is likable for telling the truth, but he tells only a part of it. He defends the poor, but he has no other concrete politics. Not once does he mention the election, Central America, or even Gorbachev. His act is free of overt homophobia, but he assumes the males in his audience are straight, affectionately teasing two guys he predicts that after the show they'll drink some beers and beat up homos, taking it for granted that neither is gay. Leno is awkward with women. There are as many females as males in the audience, but when he questions people about their cars, he addresses only males. Later, inquiring about the work people do, he speaks to 20 males and only 4 females, all of whom are called pretty lady. Part of Leno's TV success is rooted in what makes him bland when he performs live. He aims at such broad appeal, he's slippery, one minute ripping into junk food toxins, the next hawking chips in Dorito commercials. He's shy, self-protective, masked. For some stand-ups, I'm thinking of Sandra Bernhardt and Richard Pryor, comedy is a conduit for libido. Performing is a sexual act, a hit on the audience, a goose. And these performers electrify when working live. But for other comedians, smart-mouthing is an end-run around sex. It's no accident that the men with staying power on TV, and they are all men, project almost no eroticism. I'm talking about Carson, Cavett, Letterman, and now Leno. Carson is the perpetual coy boy. When his true feelings about women surface, they're lewd. Women are creatures you wed because they're idle, then despise because they're predatory. Cavett's libido is channeled into envy. His competitiveness has ruined him on the tube because it's so glaring it disturbs, like sex and violence in their more naked forms. Sex embarrasses Letterman. He says and shows this every opportunity he can. Leno is baffled by sensuality and turns priggish. Condom ads make him so twitchy he claims incorrectly that the U.S. makes a bigger deal of them than any other country. In fact, Britain has waged a tougher campaign for their use. Worse, Leno irresponsibly disparages rubbers before college kids, a population that's in dire need of information and protection. The bluff, shy guys who've made it on late-night shows all have the same tension in the shoulders, the same tightness in the voice, the same remoteness in the eyes. Medium cool is chilliest before bed, where there can be nothing threatening, nothing to jazz you up, just slumbering libidos to lull you past the arousing conflicts of consciousness.